Well, as we enjoy this season of Epiphany, the season that comes right after Christmas, reflecting a little bit on the Christmas season and just all the wonderful enjoyment that we experience, one of the things that I like more and more is the lights at Christmas time. I don't know if you are one of those people that likes to drive around the community and check out all the lights, but it's amazing how during the Christmas season people like to use light and to try to make, I guess, a more festive kind of season. But also, as you think of our sermon text today, that Jesus is the light of the world, I think there's something more going on. This tradition of lighting up the community of Christmas lights, reminding the world that Jesus is the light of the world, the one who has come to shine light in the darkness. As Jesus says, I am the light of the world. It's interesting as we think about Christmas time with the lights, but we also think about another very important moment in the life of the Jewish people centuries ago. Jesus makes this statement, I am the light of the world, shortly after the Feast of Tabernacles. And this is one of Israel's three major feasts. The Feast of Tabernacles was a harvest celebration. It was a pilgrimage festival to commemorate Israel's living in temporary shelters in the wilderness, as recorded in the Old Testament. And one of the wonderful features of the Feast of Tabernacles was called the Ceremony of Lights. As the Bible teacher Leon Morris explains, the spectacular part of the feast was the use of the great Jewish candelabra. In fact, there were four of these large candles, and evidently the light that shone from them was so bright, there was not a courtyard in Jerusalem that didn't reflect the light. Giant Christmas candles or lights shining all over Jerusalem so that there was light at all times during the Feast of Tabernacles. And so with this background in mind, we can better understand why Jesus calls himself the light of the world at this particular time. But just as those great Jewish candelabras shone light all over Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles, so Jesus is the light of the world, the one who shines brightly in this dark world of sin and trouble. If you read the passages just before our sermon text, you'll discover that most of the Jewish leaders refused to believe that Jesus could be the light of the world, the long-awaited Messiah. But they could agree on one thing, that Jesus was getting in the way, and he has gotten in the way. But interestingly, as John says in our passage, no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. But this response of the Pharisees reminds us that they were in the dark. Here they were, just recently the whole all of Jerusalem was lit up, right, with these great Jewish candelabras. And they were celebrating one of these great Old Testament feasts. And yet, and here they were, with the light of the world among them, but they didn't realize it. Actually, they thought they were in the light and that Jesus was in the dark. After all, they were the descendants of ancient Israel, the chosen people of the one true God. In fact, this explains quite well the general feeling of the time. In the first century, most Jews were inward looking. They were happy their nation was the chosen nation, and they were the chosen people. But they saw this as a privilege and not a responsibility. And I'm sure that the Jews looked back at Abraham as their father, and they saw that Abraham was the father of many nations. He was blessed by God in order to be a blessing. But they forgot that part. They claimed Abraham as their father, and they felt really good about themselves, but they forgot that they were actually called to be a blessing to the nations. In the Old Testament book of Isaiah, the people were told, the servant of the Lord, the Messiah, was to be a light to the Gentiles. And eventually that light came. Jesus, Messiah, the light of the world. But as we hear in our sermon text, the Pharisees could not accept his claim. For them, it was absolutely absurd that Jesus, this man, would claim to be the Son of God, would claim to be one with the Father. They needed two witnesses to make this claim valid, and Jesus was only one in their eyes. But Jesus says, I and the Father are one. Jesus claims to be one with the Father, but the Jewish leaders simply couldn't see it because they were in the dark. Again, we have to remember that this conversation likely occurred just after the Feast of Tabernacles, when the four large Jewish candelabras that lit up all of Jerusalem were snuffed out. The great light that shone all over Jerusalem extinguished, and all that remained was darkness. Jesus often spoke with metaphors. So metaphorically speaking, he is the light of the world, the one who gives light to a dark world. The image implies that the world is in darkness, the darkness of sin. Humans left to themselves can't overcome that darkness. Darkness can be a vivid spiritual metaphor for sin, as the Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you brings only what is good and right and true. Hear what the Apostle Paul said. Once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light from the Lord. And this is what Jesus, the light of the world, came to proclaim and accomplish. He came to be the light of the world, the light of God that gives light all over the dark world. Again, we think about the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles and the darkness of humankind. Jesus teaching that he was the light, not simply of his followers, nor even of Israel, but of the whole world, was absolutely breathtaking. Remember, in those days, the Jews thought they were the light of the world. They were the city on a hill. Jesus said, yes, you are the city on a hill. Now shine your light in the darkness. Shine my light into the dark world. This implies that God loves all humankind, not only Israel. No one is beyond the love and care of God. The coming of the Son of God is to bring light to all people, whoever they may be, and wherever they may live. He is light, the light of nothing less than the whole world. So as we think about Jesus being the light of the world, I wonder today, where is the darkness in your life? Perhaps you're wrestling with a certain temptation, and you're losing the strength and the will to resist. Perhaps you're caught up in a certain sinful habit or attitude, and you just can't seem to overcome it. Perhaps you've been deeply hurt by someone, and you're just having a hard time forgiving. Or maybe you're depressed, and there's just darkness in your life, and you can't find any hope. Whatever darkness you face at this time, Jesus came to shine his light into that dark place. As he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So how do we respond to the light of Jesus? Well, people are expected to react to the light. They're not simply to be happy because it's reached them, as the Jews were in that Feast of Tabernacles centuries ago, just happy to have the light. They're supposed to respond, they're supposed to do something about it. Jesus immediately speaks of people following him. The light is to bring them out of darkness. And that means they must now follow the right road. They must change their lives. They must follow. Now, if you think about that call to follow Jesus in the New Testament, back then, disciples would follow around, like a Jewish teacher around. They would actually literally follow him from place to place and learn from him. Even watching him eat, watching him talk to people, seeing how he lived. Today, of course, we can't do that because Jesus is with the Father in heaven sitting at his right hand. But we can still follow Jesus as a disciple. We can still live according to his word. We can still seek God's face. We can still follow Jesus today. And when anyone does this, says Jesus, he'll certainly not walk in darkness. You know, darkness was often used in the ancient world for negative things, scary things, things like deception and error and death. Jesus is saying here, anyone who follows him is delivered from all such things. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have trouble in our lives. We certainly do. We need to be honest with ourselves. But we have the light of the world to shine his light in the darkness in the middle of that trouble. So I wonder again, where is the darkness in your life? Wherever that darkness lives, I have good news. Jesus is the light of the world. And he comes to shine his light into all your dark places. So how do you respond to the light? Well, one response is to hide. In John chapter 3, we learn all who do evil hate the light for fear their sins will be exposed. Many people work hard to remain in the dark because they don't want God or others to find out about their sin and misery. But how much better it is to come into the light, to have your sins exposed and forgiven, but to just to be honest with yourself and with God, and to receive the light of Christ and be able to see where you're going, to see the light, to walk in it, to follow Jesus. So how do you come into the light if you're currently in the dark? Well, as it is written in John chapter 3, those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they're doing what God wants. If you want to step out of the darkness and come into the light of Christ, you must follow him. You must submit your life to him and become one of his students or apprentices for life. As Dallas Willard says, Jesus invites us to learn from him how to live our lives in the kingdom of God. As disciples of Jesus, we're with him by choice and by grace, learning from him how to live in the kingdom of God. So what does that look like for you? How would Jesus live if he were in your place, in your job, in your marriage, in your family, in your school? Determining the answer to that question will help you discern how to follow Jesus today. But bottom line, students of Jesus devote themselves to his teachings as recorded in scriptures. So today you're invited to follow Jesus, the light of the world. Don't hide in darkness any longer. Come into the light and receive forgiveness, hope, healing, and guidance, whatever it is you need from Jesus at this time, and ultimately into your life. Amen. Amen. Everybody, just to take a moment of silence. And we've been challenged to reflect on where the darkness is in our lives. I invite you to just take a moment to reflect on that. Where is the darkness in your life, and where do you need Jesus, the light of the world, to shine into your life? And I invite you to respond to God's word of prayer and invite Jesus to come in. And in a few seconds, I'll invite the worship team to come and lead us in a song of response.